And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your No Show, the KNOW show, where we talk about how is it that we can show up in the world to make right where it is that we are a better place. How is it that we can show up to help others to know that there is a way out? How is it that we can show up in order to make things better, not only for ourselves, but for our children, our children's children, for our neighbors, for the people in the next block, for the people in the next city, in the next county, regardless of whether you live in Pleasant Valley or if you live in a lower valley, regardless of whether you are up the hill or down the hill, to make things equidistant in terms of spirit as they are at all times. This is the No Show. We're excited that you decided to spend this time with us talking tonight about a couple of things. We're going to talk for a few minutes about the Ferguson experience and now the New York experience and creating a positive outcome from those opportunities, the one in Ferguson a couple of weeks ago and the one now in New York as well, both of them that are challenging people and making people question and doubt whether or not they are understood. And so we are grateful and we are thankful for having this opportunity to visit and to talk about the things that are important to you, the things that matter to you, how we can make a difference in the world for ourselves and for our children. This is the No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and it is my pleasure to serve as your host and to invite people just like you to stop by and chat with us, to talk with us, and to get their input in terms of life and living and loving so that we can have a better understanding of everything that is going on with us and how we might look at things a little bit differently in order to make things different for everybody. So we are so glad that you decided to stop by here. And again, this is the No Show. We are going to chat with a number of folks this evening. We have a young man who is going to be on the program to chat with us, who is from Bowie, Maryland, and a very good friend of mine. We have a young lady, Miss Carrie, who is in the California area, I believe the Oakland area. And we have our own state representative here, Mr. Ken Richardson, who may stop by and join us for a moment as well to talk about how we take question marks of whether or not there is police brutality, question marks about whether or not we are getting a fair deal, question marks about whether or not this is a black issue or a white issue, and change those into exclamation points where we understand each other and we are better off than we would have been without having had this conversation. So we are really pleased that each and every one of you is with us, and we know that you could have been somewhere else. You didn't have to be here this evening, but you felt that it was important enough for us to have this conversation and for you to have an opportunity to express what is within you and what is a part of you. And so we are so grateful that you decided to stop by here. Carl Anderson out of Maryland. Mr. Carl, good evening. Are you with us, sir?
I am here.
Good evening, Carl. I am so pleased that you are here, that you are a faithful student of the philosophy of metaphysics and New Thought and doing the right thing, and we are glad to have you with us for certain. I want to see if Miss Carrie Kelly now is also with us and on board out of somewhere in California. Carrie, did they allow you all to come on the telephone tonight in California? Are you there?
I am here. Yes, I am.
Good. I am so glad that you are, my dear. It is a pleasure to have you with us and to know that all is working out quite nicely. And we are pleased that, as I said a little bit earlier, you decided to make this important enough to stop by and visit. I want to bring in our representative now here in Little Rock, where I am at the moment, Mr. Ken Richardson, who also has decided that what he can bring to this conversation in terms of a positive outcome for all of us is a key component to being here. And he stopped what he was doing and decided that it was important that he be here as well. Mr. Ken, are you available? Are you with us, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm here. And point of clarification, I'm not a state representative. I'm on the City Council of Little Rock, sir. But I'm here, and thanks for having me here.
Thank you. I've already elevated you, you see. You're already moving forward, Ken. That's where we're going to have you shortly, whenever it is that you decide that that is where you would like to be. But I want to open this up, and all of you all, please, that I've called upon thus far, please know that your mics are hot right now and that you're going to be live until I say differently. So please govern yourselves accordingly and don't say anything negative or disparaging about the host, because those conversations will be recorded and I will come and get you. We are dealing with a very challenging opportunity here, Councilmember Ken. And you and I talked last week about having conversations so that we can help people to understand that there are ways out, positive ways of expressing challenge, positive things that we can do in our communities to make things different. Ways of having a conversation. And one of the things that you and I spoke about, Mr. Richardson, was having a conversation with our family before we have a conversation with the community, and then a conversation with the community before we even have a conversation with others. I wonder if you might share with us what your thoughts are on the things that are going on right now and how it is that you feel all of us can put our best foot forward in order to make things better for everybody concerned.
Well, if you're talking about in the context of the violence that we're experiencing within our community, I think that there's a certain level of violence or a certain level of behavior, abnormal behavior that we've accepted as normal behavior, that we have to kind of figure out a way to address that and make sure that we turn the clock and reverse that and address that as abnormal behavior rather than normal behavior, and place the value and quantify that and say that this is not normal behavior. And I think that we have to place value on the lives of those individuals in our community. As you may be aware, and you know, that we had a 14-year-old girl that was shot last night in front of an elementary school. Now, we should have the same kind of outrage and uproar in our community that we have when a white officer shoots a black person in our community. And quite often, we don't have that same kind of outrage, that same kind of frustration and anger when we have this violence or criminal activity that happens amongst each other that we have when it's perpetrated by someone who doesn't look like us. And I think that it's hard for us to expect anyone else to value us when we don't seem to value us. And I think that's one of the things we have to try to address and turn it around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Regardless of who it is that does it, the perpetrator, or who it is that receives it, wrong is just wrong. And we have to acknowledge that as being wrong, and then make certain that, number one, we don't do any more wrong, and that we help others to know that that is not the way that they have to deal with it as well. Carl, what are you seeing from Carl Anderson? What are you seeing from all of this that's going on? You've been on the stage of life for a few more years than I have, and I always yield to your wisdom and your discernment. What is it that you are seeing, and what does this tide mean in our worlds, in our local communities, and for us and for our children?
Well, first of all, I like the way you call me old, and I don't mind being old. I'm happy to be old. I'm glad that I got to hear Ken first, because you don't mind if I call you that, I hope.
No, sir.
Because okay,
you're old.
I feel connected to you.
Yes, sir.
Right. Very good.
Yes, sir.
Because it takes me right to the center of where I try to start on all of these problems as such that we have to deal with. And I try to remember before I start even thinking about it that I am in it, so I must be in it and involved. But
mm-hmm.
I am not of it if it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not of that part of it. I'm
mm-hmm.
in it, and we must be in it. And Ken is in it. And he realizes that each of us has a part to play in any solution. And we have to understand that we have to support our representatives, whether they're on
right.
city councils or on state councils or national
That's
councils.
Right.
We
That's
have
right.
to support them, especially when they're right, and
That's
we
right.
have
All
to support them by correcting them when they may be a little bit off base.
Absolutely.
But
That's
they're
right.
always representing us, and they need
yeah.
our support.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just start with remembering at all times to be in it and involved in the politics of our time or the crime of our time or the justice of our time, because
mm-hmm.
that is what we deal with on a day-to-day basis, and to leave out the negative part, except to remember for ourselves that we must challenge people when they're in their negative positions and negative thought patterns, and not let them get away with it, so to speak, because that just empowers them more.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't challenge them and don't try to move them to better thinking, to a higher place of thinking about whatever differences we have.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, Carrie, I want to ask you to please, ma'am, give us your take on this as well, especially from the spiritual perspective of all of us knowing that we have choices about everything, and we can choose to see the positive in something, even if it is, at the time, something negative. And, of course, I go back to Little Rock, Arkansas, with Governor Orville E. Faubus standing on the steps of Little Rock Central High, refusing to allow several of my friends inside that space and that place. And that then what happened was that guards, people who were from the local community, had to be nationalized and then asked to support the effort of these children walking through those doors. So there are times when you see situations and circumstances don't just change, and so it is necessary for us through constructive criticism to exercise our powers in making that happen. Carrie, what are you seeing, and what are your concerns, and what do you have to say relative to what you have heard so far?
Okay, so what is coming up for me as I listen to this conversation and I am dealing with my own emotional reactions to all of this is that in this country, we have really never been valued as a people historically. Historically, we were never valued as people, and the evolution of how our value is playing itself out now has a lot more to do with the way we think of ourselves, and how we deal with each other, and that will have an effect on how other people will deal with us. For example, what you said about what was said about the girl being shot in front of the school didn't bring up as much outrage as a white officer killing a black youth. So right there you have a situation of our own value, our own idea of our value with each other. And my desire would be for that to turn around, because once we have value for ourselves to the degree that it would outrage us to have our youth treated the way we treat them or the way people that look like us treat us, then that will have a direct effect on how other people will treat us. In other words, when you respect yourself, when you love yourself, other people will respect and love you. And so it's just a universal principle that once we get that handled, the rest of it, I believe, will fall into place. It's not easy, but it is simple.
Yeah. See, Kara made a great, great, great point that we've never pulled down the curtains and talked about this as a race. We're the only people in this country that's in this country by force, not choice. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is in this country by choice. We're in this country by force. We're the only people in this country that's seeking to this day to seek approval by the people who brought us here. Seeking approval by the people who brought us here to the detriment of people who look like us that are still suffering. And think about that. There are people who look like us who are taking comfort in the discomfort of people who look like us for the approval of people who don't look like us. I'm sorry, I had to get that out.
I got you.
I appreciate that. And I want to go back to Kara. I so much agree with her point and with Ken's point of our devaluing ourselves. But it's a part of what we have to de-learn. We have to de-learn all the negative stuff that we have been taught and start by just getting closer to the reality of life, of how connected we are with one another. And I don't mean just our group, but I'll start with our group, our family and extended family, and how connected we are and whether we feel we must be or not. We are there. We are connected. We must connect with one another in a real sense and help ourselves to overcome this devaluing that we do by recognizing it first and then having conversations around that. Ken, I think you said something earlier about talking within our community, within our families, and then within our communities first.
Well, right. Rev, that in addition to being on the city council is probably a necessary evil for me because I'm a deputy director at a nonprofit, and I ran for city council to use my experience doing programming for marginalized children, youth, and families to take that and to try to hopefully develop some policy at the city level to kind of dovetail that to develop some policies to try to, because, you know, a lot of problems that we're having in our communities, we can't program our way out of it. And you made a great example about Central High. Now, Central High is a national monument. It's on the National Historical Register. Now, you look at that neighborhood around Central High. We have boarded up, abandoned. It looks like somebody dropped a bomb in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way in the world that neighborhood should look like that. And
mm-hmm.
it's embarrassing for the city to have that neighborhood look like that. And there's no outrage, there's no concern. I mean, there's no and every so often, you know it, every 5-10 years we have these celebratory moments where we bring Bill Clinton when he was the president, we bring all the dignitaries here and they come in, they do these window dressings and it's an insult to the people who live there and we do these window dressings. I've called out my colleagues and of course, you know, they get on me about that. But you know, there's no concentrated effort to do any revitalization, any redevelopment, to address any the unemployment issues, the disconnected youth issues. But part of the work that I dealt with, and I still deal with, is marginalized children, youth, and families. To address that is, you know, we try to heal the young person. We try to heal the family that produced the young person, and ultimately the community that produced the family.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, you know, we have these blighted, fragmented, disjointed communities that are the sources of a lot of the social ills that are producing some of these problems, these negative outcomes that we keep reading about and seeing on TV on a daily basis. Now, where is the concentrated, comprehensive efforts to address this in a meaningful
mm-hmm.
way?
Right. Right, that's right, that's right. And you know what I believe, ladies and gentlemen, is that it is, the answer to that question is, Mr. Richardson, that it lies within us. It is, in fact, up to us. So I appreciate your being where you are to do what you can do. And then, you know what happens? We call that in the metaphysical community, Mr. Richard Richardson, we call that serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality, meaning
yes, sir.
That whenever it is that spirit is ready for action to take place, and whenever it is that the people get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then
yes, sir.
That combination of spirituality and the material world comes into play, and we get what it is that we want. See, I think that part of the reason that the Democrats lost all of the seats that they lost was because people were so disappointed at people for not even standing up for Barack Obama. One lady in one state even forgot that she voted for him, conveniently.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
This woman forgot that she, and the lady asked her again, 3 or 4 times. Our own Senator Pryor, Mark Pryor, had the opportunity to do what nobody else could have done, which was to have Air Force One parked at Adams Field, Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport now, to have it parked right there with a sitting president and a former president on board. Nobody else could have done that, but he could have. But he chose instead to stay away from all of the accomplishments that were made under President Obama. I think that spirit has a way of righting itself and righting the ship in order to then shift people to one side and then bring that which needs to be brought into place so that people remember. So that they then, when they get a chance again to come back, there will be people like a Ken Richardson in place to remind them and to help them to then do that which is best for Little Rock's, not the Central, because Central looks great. It's the community that you're talking about, the houses around it. And that, of course, is all about the dollar. That's what that is all about, because if once those people clear out of there, then other folk will come in.
Or it's gentrification. It's gentrification. I mean, its plan is clear, but that's all it is. That's what's going to happen. I'm sorry.
It's gentrification. That is what can happen. That's not what necessarily
going
has
to happen. It's going to happen as long as we sleepwalking. I think Carrie's trying to say something.
Well, I'm trying to say something right now, though.
I'm sorry.
And that's okay. And that is that, you see, what seems to have to be is not necessarily what has to be. Because if we will do that which Spirit is saying for us to do, then everything else will change and will come in such a way that things become different. Carrie, you had something to say?
Actually, I wasn't saying anything,
oh, okay.
But somebody's going to let me open
shot.
My mouth, I am going
you got to your shot, sister. You go. You go for it.
So here's my two cents. I have I'm developing something what I'm calling the trustworthy information source. And what that is the built-in mechanism that our Creator placed in us when we were created. And one of the things about information source is that when we act on the information, that is trustworthy information. It solves a lot of the problems that we wouldn't normally have. So I think that we keep looking outside of ourselves and outside everywhere to find the solutions to some of the things that are going haywire. But if we can start to look within to pay attention to some of the promptings that come when situations arise, it would make available to us better options. So, like, when you get a prompting about not going in a certain direction at a certain time of night, then you're not where you don't need to be when somebody who has mayhem on their mind is at. And so then you don't have that situation showing up in the news because these people aren't there. But then, you know, if you don't listen to those promptings, you end up in situations and then you end up kicking yourself about how come you didn't listen to that. I knew I shouldn't have went. I knew I shouldn't have said. I knew I shouldn't
sure.
have, but you didn't.
Sure.
And so now you have all this stuff going on. So I think that on an individual basis, we might have to be looking at the things that are on the inside to start the process so that things on the outside can start to get cleaned up.
Absolutely.
I absolutely agree with that and going inside, because that's really where our power and our energy resides. It's all inside of us. It was made, we came here with it. And it's in there, even if we kind of got it hidden over at the time, that doesn't deny it. It is there, and if you reach in there and just go a little bit deeper and try to get to it, you'll touch it. And when you touch
it... Now, people need to... Oh, sorry.
Your right answers are going to come to you.
People need to be willing to go in there, though, because sometimes they've been so confused and disconnected from it that they can't hear it anymore. They can't feel it anymore. And so,
yeah.
when you got all this noise and traffic around you that's distracting you, with all the media and all this other stuff, you know, you're going to miss that. You're going to miss it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. You know,
one of the things I want to say that I heard each of you saying is two words come to mind: spiritual awareness.
Yes, sir.
When we have the spiritual acuity, when we have the spiritual awareness, and when we get up in the morning and meditate and send forth the presence that is within us and ask
yes, sir.
The Spirit to guide us and direct us and to move us in the direction that is not only best for us and for our family, but for the world overall, then we will have those answers and those questions that will be answered, and those question marks will be straightened in the exclamation points, and we will marvel at how that happens. That's why, Ken Richardson, that you are where it is that you are, because we need young men like you who are married to their communities, who understand some of the things, who were raised. I think shared with me that you came from Sweet Home in that area. Is that right, Mr. Richardson?
Yes, sir. I grew up in Riceville in Sweet Home. Yes,
right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And so you know that whenever it is that a young person from that area says to you, well, no, man, I can't be anything because I'm from, and you come back to him and say, oh, no, sir, you can be whatever it is that you want to be because I came from there too, and this is where it is that I am now. And then that little person will look at you and say, oh, and so the things that you are doing now, being on this program, when other people decided that they had more important things for whatever reason, and I'm not saying anything one way or another, but you are here because you care, and that is indicative of what is within you and where you are wanting to go.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I thank you for those kind words, and I really appreciate it. And you know, and when I work directly with young people, you know, I started out, you know, doing gang intervention work, and when I work directly with young people, because one of the things that frustrates me about our community is that, you know, too many of us talk about our young people. We talk at our young people, but we don't talk to them without listening to them. And, you know, and a lot of people, I started out coordinating gang intervention programs and prevention programs, and a lot of people mistakenly believe that young people join gangs to, you know, sell dope, shoot people, kill people, commit criminal activities. Now, they ultimately do that because they don't have positive adult involvement in their lives, but if you did research and you talk to young people join gangs because of some basic human needs. They join gangs for a sense of family, protection, love, belonging, security. I mean, basic human needs, all the things that we get from our own family or extended families. And, you know, all of us have those basic human needs. And, and you know, and I used to couch it, this is how you get sympathy and empathy. You know, we used to look at gangs, I used to couch them as little league baseball teams without a coach. And you give them a coach and then give them the right direction. And one of the ways I used to get, interestingly enough, when we started those programs many, many moons ago, it was around the time, y'all remember Baby Jessica. Carrie, you might not be old enough to remember Baby Jessica. But Baby Jessica was a little 18-month-old white baby that fell down the well. And they pulled out this well and the whole nation went crazy. Everybody loved Baby Jessica. They pulled out the well. So I equated black kids who were in gangs with Baby Jessica. They were Baby Jessicas, where they fell into the wells of gangs and drugs and violence, and then white people said, oh, we can sympathize and empathize with that. We can relate to that. So then they started committing resources. So to that extent, one of the ways that we have to try to figure out a way, and I think this is why it's hard for us to get people to empathize and sympathize with the Michael Browns and with this guy that they didn't indict today in New York, is we have to figure out a way to try to get people to sympathize and empathize with what's going on with people who look like us. But it's hard for them to do that if we don't do that. And I think I started that out, you know, about 20 minutes ago with my first statement. And if don't do that, if we don't value each other, we can't expect anybody else to value each other. Value us, and I think somebody I can't remember who made this statement, but you know, we got to solve this. We got to solve this problem, and I think Rev, you and I talked last week about it. I'll be unapologetic about. I don't have any problems with pulling down the curtains, closing the doors, and solving our family problems inside our house.
That's right.
That's how we solve. We solve our family problems inside the house. I don't need everybody outside our house looking at us solving our problems.
Yeah, that's
in a way, that's the only way.
Let's explain that, Mr. Richard, if you don't mind. We had an extensive conversation last week, you all. This was even before the other program. We must have talked for about 30, 35 minutes. And finally he said, look, I just have to go, okay? They're getting ready to make a vote or something. I said, okay, fine. But one of the things that we have to help people to understand is the way that we do things. Everybody and every family is this way. In New York, my Italian friends that are there, Ethiopia, my Ethiopian friends who are there, they come together as a family and they talk about certain things that other people may not be as interested in, but they are because it's relative to their family. And then once they get set on that and everybody understands where they are on that, they go outside and they discuss it with the community. And then from there, they expand it even more. And so that is one of the things that is necessary to happen. But Ken Richardson, I know that it's getting ready to happen because that's one of the reasons I'm back here in Arkansas. I've been away from here for 33 years, all right? And all of a sudden, I was told to come back to Little Rock. I thought it was because I had blood clots in both lungs, and I got stuck here at home at the VA hospital, but it wasn't about that. Serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality, and spiritual awareness. We have to be spiritually aware of what is going on that Spirit and God is guiding and directing us to do, and then we get it. And then, Carrie, we are able to move in the direction of the good that Spirit has for us. And right now, while I am visiting with you all, I'm watching CNN Live, and they are having peaceful demonstrations in New York City. And the Attorney General came on and addressed the nation, shared with everybody quickly that, look, we are going to look into this. Barack Obama and Eric Holder are where they are now for a reason, folks. There are no accidents in life, only spiritual opportunities, and everything that happens, happens for a reason. Carl, I want for you to come back and share with us from your perspective, and I did not call you old, by the way, earlier. What I said was...
Carl, he said sagacious. It sounded like old, but he said sagacious. That's what he said.
Oh, I see. Oh, thanks, Ken. Thanks for taking up for him.
No, I'm not taking up for him. I'm just trying to clarify. He said sagacious. It sounded like old.
It's all in perspective and interpretation.
There you go.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I hear something in what you're all saying, and I'm just listening intently and loving what I'm hearing. But I want to make this very political point here.
Okay.
One of the things, and within this, I'm not saying that by any means, I'm not saying that all our problems are centered in the southern part of our nation.
Absolutely.
But I am going to say this, that thinking in terms of the states that came together to revolt against the nation, there is a way of thinking in that part of the country that is rather pervasive.
You're absolutely right.
You sort of heard the term that the South, speaking generally, has won the Civil War or is still fighting the Civil War.
Yep.
And after Ferguson, USA, my thinking is that the South has won the Civil War.
Yep.
And the reason I say that is because I want us to think sharply, to think clearly without negativism, but to just understand that we have to go deep enough in these family and community conversations that we're going to have that faces reality. And part of the reality is that thinking has pervaded and taken over the U.S. So we're fighting a pretty big battle, which means if we don't go all the way back and understand the fullness of the battle that we have to win, then we're not going to come up with the right tools. If we start somewhere in the middle, you know, or almost at the end, which at this point would be New York City and Ferguson, Missouri, and a little earlier, if we're going to start with those kind of things, even the civil rights movement should teach us something that we have to go farther back than that to understand the real depth of the problems that we're facing, and then our solutions will come, because that will, and I go all the way back to what each of you have said, we really do have to go all the way back to inside ourselves, because that's how we are going to have what it takes to develop these highly intelligent and instruments that we use at a highly conscious level to win the battle that we must win and will win at some point.
That's a great point. You know, that's a great point. You know, it reminded me, you know, I had a conversation with some of my, I'm not going to call them old Rev, like you could call them old.
How about seasoned? Is that a good
seasoned? There you go, Carrie. I like it.
Oh,
with
very good,
seasoned,
Carrie.
with some seasoned folks about this revitalization project that we're spearheading. And, you know, and I talked about two things. One was I wanted to have I got a 12th Street Corridor project that I won an award, Arkansas Plan Association 2010 award for best urban design, and it's a wonderful thing that's going on. And these seasoned, influential, and I won't call their names real because you know them, so I don't do dust like that.
Sure.
And I want them to come together, and I said, I want you guys to come together. I want in this 12th Street station, I want to have a black bank in here. They said, well, we can't trust each other. I said, okay, so who caused the recession in 2008?
Mm-hmm.
And they named the banks. And I said, how many of y'all still banking with them? All raise a hand. I said, Clay's closed. I said, well, then let's do this then. Because we all talk about, you know, we got communities. We really don't have communities. We have neighborhoods, because communities means you run, you can control your own business in your community. Mm-hmm. But we really don't run those. We don't own the businesses. We have neighborhoods that you live in, because for the most part, we don't even own most of the businesses in our neighborhoods. Let's have this conversation about this. Let's sit down in a couple of weeks and let's talk about what did we lose and what did we gain by integration. And let's have a conversation about separation. Well, why do we want to talk about that? Separation, that's like segregation. I said, no, segregation was a law. Separation is by choice. Because for the most part, with a few isolated communities, we're already separated. In Little Rock, I can't speak for all over the world, but in Little Rock, with a few exceptions, we're pretty much separated.
That's universal.
We're pretty much separated. The only problem is, with the separation is, we do not own or control the businesses in our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
We don't.
That's right.
Are you familiar with Claude Anderson?
Excuse me?
Dr. Claude Anderson?
Claude Anderson, right.
Claude
yes,
Anderson,
the power.
Powernomics.
I will do that. But I say this, Cassie, real quick. But, you know, and I was telling, and Rev, I was telling some folks about, you know, he was talking about, you know, politics and politics. I said, well, listen to this. So on our city council here in Little Rock, we have three blacks and eight whites. And In my ward, Ward 1 is probably the poorest ward. My ward, Ward 2, is probably the next poorest. And I was like, how many Asians do we have on our city council? None. Arabs that we have on city council? None.
Mm-hmm.
But in my ward, in Ward 1, about, I'd say 85 to 90% of the businesses are owned by Asians and Arabs and Indians.
Sure. That's right. And so it becomes imperative to do two things, I would think. Ms. Ritson, it becomes imperative to work with those folks to get them to also employ some of the folks that are in those communities, and then to help people who can do so to understand the dynamics and the impact of buying businesses in those communities as well as quickly as is possible. And
absolutely.
And we can do that from the inside much better than we can from the outside. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hold on just a moment, because you guys have had me so wrapped up and so caught up in all of this that I haven't even given our commercial announcement. So stand by for just a moment. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is The No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and we are so pleased that you decided to join us this evening. We know that you had choices and other things that you could have done, but you decided to stop by here. I want to tell you that we have a lot of good things going on this network. And many of those things you are already aware of, but I'm going to tell you about just a few of them right now. On Thursdays, we have the Progressive News Weekly show at 5:30 p.m., and that's hosted by Daryl Clark from New York. It is also co-hosted and moderated by Cecil McDaniel, and so who is our RBR director. So we want for you to tune into that show. You'll hear a lot of good things that you want to know about. On Fridays, we have the Searchers Roadmap show at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by my moderator, Rhonda Harrison from Red Feather Lakes, Colorado. And that was the first RBR show, and thus it is the longest-running show. Rhonda is a healer and often hosts shamans from around the world at her home 9,000 feet up the mountains of Colorado. On Saturday, we have Soul Town, The Sound of Music, broadcast at 3 p.m. And by the way, all of our times that I'm giving you are Central Standard Time. So if you're in another area across the United States of America or across the world, because I know we have people listening everywhere, then understand that the times that I am giving you are Central Standard Times, and please make the necessary adjustment. But that comes, Soul Town comes from Memphis, Tennessee, and is hosted by Reginald Jenkins. And so we then also have at this evening at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, The Laws of Material Worth with Wealth, The Laws of Material Wealth with James Renford Powell. And if you want to know anything about anything relative to spirituality and wealth circulation, bringing that abundance into your experience, then you want to make certain that you tune in to those shows. All of our shows are just like this one, will be available about half an hour to an hour after we get off the air. You'll be able to go up and listen to this again, pull it down, record it, and then share it with other people who should have heard it, the other folks that should have been here with us as well, who can then appreciate the perspective from which we are coming, as we are now talking about Ferguson, Missouri, and we're talking about New York City, where indictments were not handed down to police that many, many, many people thought should have been handed down, if for no other reason than to at least make it look like you are really interested in having justice prevail. But that did not happen, and so now we are moving forward. But one of the things that I said earlier and that I repeat now is what Dr. King said many, many, many years ago. And he said, "I am convinced that God has not turned the world over to the Lester Maddoxes and the George Wallaces and the Orville E. Faubuses of this world. But God is in charge of this world. And you know what, folks? God has handed that baton to you and to me. And so now it is up to us, like Councilperson Ken Richardson, who is on with us tonight, and many, many, many others. We know that he is not the only one, but he's the one that is here with us, that took time from his schedule to come on and talk about what we can do to make things better right here and to keep situations and circumstances from happening like they did in Ferguson. And by the way, again, I want to let you all again know that I'm looking at CNN and MSNBC and CBS, and all of those are showing peaceful demonstrations in New York right now. So let's be aware that change has already taken place. I want to come back and allow our solo female personality to step in and give us again her perspective from the metaphysical perspective that you are really coming into your own with right now, to share with us, if you will, Carrie, how you see things working out from here. We've all talked about the things that can be done and that we want to do and that we are going to help with. But in California, just briefly, share with me one of the things that you are going to do, where it is that you are, to make a difference.
Well, the first thing is to take personal responsibility for the choices that I make. So if there are businesses that are in my neighborhood that are not contributing to my economic well-being and the economic well-being of people that look like me, I can choose not to spend my time, money, and energy with those businesses. And then if other people choose to follow suit with that, and we find people that are willing to make whatever sacrifices need to be made in order to build an economic base, in order to build a community of business owners that will employ those of us who look like each other, then that's their prerogative, but it has to start with the one in the mirror. And you know, we are also going to have to understand that we may not get agreement with the people that are closest to us. Like you were saying, you're okay with pulling the curtains and the shades down and handling the family problems inside the household. Well, when you're dealing with a dysfunctional family inside the household, sometimes you have to realize that the help that you're going to get may have to come from the family next door, or across the street, or, you know, around the corner, because, you know, sometimes the folks that are right next to you, right with you, and have been there your whole life may not want to take you as seriously as someone else.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. Thank you. Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate that. I see that Cecil is on with us as well, the RBR director. And Cecil, last week you had mentioned a book by a young man that you felt would be a good book for us to all take a look at. And I'm going to put your mic live, if you don't mind, sir, and ask you if you would share with us what your thoughts are rather quickly on this topic and what the name of that book was. Cecil, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having
me. Thank you for being here.
The name of that book is, you're more than welcome. That name of that book is Restoring the Minds of Black America. It's by Dr. Eddie Taylor.
Okay. Restoring the Mind Restoring the mind.
Minds.
Minds. Okay.
Of Black America.
And it's by Dr. Who, Cecil?
Kennedy.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You're breaking up.
I got Dr. Taylor, but not the first name.
Eric.
Okay.
Eddie Taylor.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Got it. Eddie Taylor. Thank you. I appreciate that. And
oh,
your
Eddie
comments.
Taylor?
Yes, Eddie.
Okay.
Eddie. And just a brief comment that you have. You were on with us last week, and we had a fabulous conversation, the first part of this. And by the way, folks, any of you that want to go back and hear that conversation as well as pull this one down and have it so that other people can share it with each other and you can talk about it in community, as we are suggesting that you do, please feel free to do so. Mr. Cecil?
Yes. Well, what I would say, and to follow up on last week, is basically that for us to take a break from all of the drama, to reflect, to go inward, and call on the higher spiritual self, the higher spiritual power within us to make different choices and different decisions, and make those decisions not based on the drama and so forth that they want you to look at and view in the media. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest problems that we're having is not with those people, even of different colors, but there are people in high places who pit a whites against blacks and Asians against each other, Hispanics against each other. And the issue is not with any of these people. So that's what we really have to look at. Who's really pulling the strings, the puppet master? And mm-hmm. then we have to make the decision as to whether or not we want to be a puppet in this particular play.
Excellent.
Or if we want to create our own.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Ken Richardson, I'd like to give you 30 seconds to share your thoughts, sir.
My 30 seconds, sir. I think Kerry made two great points. One is about family. Let's say we're playing football and we huddle up and we say we're going to sweep right, we're going to pitch the ball to Kerry, and we got somebody that's not in our family, not on our team. We get to the line and somebody tells the enemy the play we're going to run, if we're going to pitch the ball to Kerry on two. We got to always be mindful that that's always going to happen. We got people sometimes that claim to be on our team and our family, and that's going to happen.
That's right.
always be mindful of that. And we always have to be mindful of that.
And
the second thing about the financial part about it, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, the only thing that people, the enemy is mindful of is, and the only thing they really respect is not the color of black, brown, or white. It's the color of green. We're not riding the front of the bus because over a two-year period that white folks had some divine intervention that God said, let them ride the front of the bus. No, that didn't happen.
I got you.
It's because it shut the system down. So
I am so glad that you were here, sir. You and I have a lot of work to do here, and I know
this
is just the beginning. Carl, what are your final words, sir?
My final words are that Ken and Kerry were just right on target in my thinking as a place to start, and that is around building businesses in our own community, owned by our own community, because it is with that. But we have to emphasize building the businesses and building the business community as business institutions, because that makes them a part of all of us and a part of the community. And then the onus for success is on both the person providing the business and on the person who comes to spend his money at the place of buying. It's got to be built around that more than just to make the dollars.
That's right. You all are phenomenal. I want to ask each and every one of you to come back again and again. We are out of time. As a matter of fact, we are over out of time. But thanks so much for being here and being who it is that you are and for showing up in the world as people who are making a difference, making a change right where you are. And that's where it begins. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We look forward to seeing you next week. We'll be back here again doing the same thing, and I promise you, it will be big fun. Take good care. Create a great day. God bless everybody. Thank you all. God bless.
God bless
you so much.
God bless.
Good night, all.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.